Hello and welcome to Mud Bites, episode 204. I'm Elaine Giles and I'm here with my co-host Mike Thomas. In this episode, feedback, flashbacks and 50 glorious years. What better way to start the show than with Jammy's sandwich? So over to Jammy, quoting Lady Siri no less. That's not subtle, that's terrorism. Yay! I can't tell you how happy I am. Though I must confess I was on a good PhD writing streak that you are now responsible for breaking. Yes, I've graduated from an MA and started a PhD in the silence. I'm sure it was worth it though, Jammy, be honest. Anyway, Jammy goes on. Timmy's retirement was very welcome news. And Jammy's sandwich, I forgot about that. You came back just before the carbon dating could complete the process. And Lego Masters Australian version, specifically, is very addictive. And Lego building is actually quite complicated. I've built several models in the 6 months since the last show. Now look at, look, just a minute. It was 5. 1st of June is 5 months, not 6. But I digress. Jammy then says he also acquired the 17 Pro Max, as well as not one, but two beautiful studio displays and a Blue Yeti mic for what will soon be the beginning of me posting stuff. We might hear from Jammy in terms of audio. Who knows? I regret nothing. No, but the bank might, Jammy. And speaking of dogs, the neighbour's German Shepherd jumped on my lap in the car when we were about to go somewhere, and it was adorable. I had to encourage her out, but I wanted to give her so much fuss. Well, trust me on this one, Jammy. Maya and Lola would be incandescent if Mike or I fussed another dog. Sammies are very territorial with their humans. Jammy, however, continued with Bin Watch. I actually didn't realise that there was a thing about the green bin. We assumed that if you had either garden or food waste, you had to have the subscription either way. The dirty, conniving monsters. Oh, tell me about it. This came in for the first time a few years ago. And how they knew that you'd paid the bill and they would deign to empty your bin was they gave you a sticker. So we dutifully attached the sticker to the bin. Well, obviously, they hadn't considered the black market that would instantly spring up in these stickers. And the thing was, the sticker lasted for, best part of at least 36 hours before it peeled off. I think at that point they binned it, if you'll pardon the pun. But then it reared its ugly head again and now it's back. Mike deals with that. I'm best off not being bothered by it. Otherwise, the air gets blue. So Mike deals with all of that. But yes, I'm agreeing with dirty conniving monsters. Now, he says, I will not be participating in any kind of AI companion. And despite my love of Lego, I won't be messing with any smart pieces either. And Apple Creator Studio. I'd forgotten that farce too. Safe to say, I'm having nothing to do with it. It's funny that they've opted for this as a rescue from Photoshop when Affinity is completely free. I also don't care for the new icons either. I've no idea what they were thinking. The whole subscription malarkey is really coming to a head. All streaming services are getting really sky-high prices now. And there are so many and they censor by removing or editing content in a way that they couldn't in the days of physical media. I foresee the rise of piracy again, the very thing reduced by the convenience and at the time anyway, low cost of streaming. And the whole business of subs imploding, it's going to get messy. Got to agree, to be honest. I mean, TV subs. I do watch the odd thing on Now TV. And I did acquire a Netflix subscription completely inadvertently. It was, what was it called? The Thursday Murder Club, and I wanted to see it. But they're quite inexpensive, considering. Now, if you want to know about being totally ripped off for subscription TV, I need to get Mike to do a piece on sports channels, because it was bad enough when everything was on Sky and there was a single subscription. But what they then did was you know, Sky had some sports, and then Amazon Prime had some, TNT had some, somewhere else had some, and you needed 5 subscriptions. So I will get on to Mike to talk about that. But back to Jammy. Elon. I agree with that. Elon. I wish he'd just go to Mars and take Grok with him, never to return. I also finally deleted Twitter. I will never call it X. It's just too much now. I'm convinced most of the accounts on there aren't real people anyway. It's just a toxic propaganda machine. It's not just the pornographic deepfakes that are the issue. There's racism, sexism, homophobia, and they're now permitted on there and on Meta platforms actually too. I've seen various posts that are blatant examples of all these things, and Twitter responds saying they don't breach the community guidelines. I just despair at it all. They just want engagement, and the fastest way for them to get that is the shock factor. It's completely disgraceful. And then he brings up something we've not actually talked about yet. Oh, the whole age verification thing. I was forced to do it on my PS5, which demanded a face, even though my account is 20 years old. I tried to give it Keir Starmer's and then Wes Streeting's, but it wouldn't have it. I'm not surprised. Wonder how many others have tried that. Apple, though, funnily enough, and even though I'd avoided updating because of the age verification enforcement, didn't make me do anything because my account is more than 18 years old. That's the only consolation for me in all of this. Well, I did have to do the age verification thing. I think from memory it started on the phone. But it wouldn't complete. So I had great fun with that. I'll talk about that in another show. But let's say it didn't end well. Well, it did in the end, I guess. But it took a long time. Back to Jammy. Rubber and pickle. I'm howling. Yes, I didn't say that, did I? But with no context, I can do. And I agree somewhat with Toblerone Thomas. On the desktop anyway, because I use Raycast and it doesn't matter on there. This is to do with the icons. Which makes him Team Mike. Just saying. Hold that thought. But on the phone and iPad, because you're mostly navigating by icon, if it's changed from what you're used to, it can be disorienting finding what you want at a glance. Well, in this case, the Spotify icon was on mobile, in my defence. I just like a pretty icon, what can I say? Anyway, Jammy says, 3 studios in one house. I'm once again Shrek Green. And oh, my delivery man, I miss him. I wonder if he's moved on. What was his name again? Now, come on, man. You know it was Chris. He was always teasing you wearing shorts, even in the middle of a Manchester winter. He's a brave man. A brave, brave man. Anyway, Jammy wraps up with, it was lovely to hear you both again. Thanks for another wonderful show. And as they say, better late than pregnant, which indeed, absolutely. Looking forward to the next one. The carbon dating process begins again. So remember, my welfare depends on another show. Well, I'm predicting that this show will also have been when you least expected it. Only 3-4 days after the last one. But it was due to popular demand. More on that shortly. But we also heard from Kim, who was thrilled with more bin talk. It appears that there is indeed some serious differences in bin culture. Kim says, OMG, more bin talk. I'm so happy. I love hearing about the differences. I am also so very disturbed about the declothing aspect of AI. Tech bros need to stop that right now. Bottom line, we can't really trust them with anything. Oh, absolutely. Totally agree with you there. As far as icons go, I need a drum roll here, don't I? Count me in on Team Mike. That's 2 for Team Mike, just saying. During the podcast, I had to go and look at my Google icons because I hadn't even noticed that they'd changed. I am secretly hoping that a Mac Bites After Hours will return with an episode on how to use Raycast Glaze. Great show, ta-ta for now. Well, I would love to share Glaze with you, but I'd have to have access to it first. Now, it is completely different to Raycast, which at its heart is a launcher. Glaze is a vibe coding development environment. Current status, or at least my current status is, on a seemingly interminable waiting list. But fingers crossed, access will be sooner rather than later. So that one's going to have to be a case of watch this space. We also heard from Alan, who, like Kim and Jammy before her, is in Camp Mike. Icons are a way of running a program or app. Does it really have to be a work of art to allow that? Good to hear a MacBite session again. Is it possible that there'll be an after-hours session on the horizon? Well, good to hear from you, Alan. I'm minded to hold MacBite's after-hours hostage until you all come round to my way of thinking about the icons. But, since I'm not that unhinged...
So, you say...
As I was saying, since I'm not that unhinged, I won't. But, I will have to seriously consider it, just saying. So, moving on. Back in April, Apple celebrated 50 years as a company, and we had a live show to celebrate. We've had several requests for a recording of the grand event, so the rest of today's show is a replay of that live show. Let's travel back to April 2026 and listen to the live show. Do hang around till the end, though. Special announcement.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I'm waiting.
We are live.
Yay! Yes. Excellent. Hello. How are you all doing? Oh, it's not been that long, has it?
No.
Only a couple of weeks.
I'm behind. I'm listening to Fiesta.
Never mind. You carry on, Mike.
Can you hear us live?
It's been 2 weeks. Only 2 weeks. The last time we were live, we were celebrating 6 years of lockdown, weren't we?
We were.
Oh, blissful peace. Anyway, this time, it's Apple's birthday. They're 50.
Happy birthday, Apple.
Happy birthday to Apple. Shall we sing? No, leave it alone.
No.
Leave it alone. Nobody wants to hear that. No. So what we thought was special show. Special show was what we thought. Starting now, we've not been with Apple 50 years. We're mere children, aren't we? Do you know, I remember the summer of 76. Do you?
I remember the summer of 76.
It was a hot summer.
It was.
You know, you remember the bins we used to have that said no hot ashes?
Yeah.
The bins were melting. It was that hot. 76. Oh my geez, it wasn't the best year for me. That was the year I got dragged to hospital when I didn't need to go. Long story. And Mum had a stroke while she was there. I mean, if you're going to have a stroke, it's the best place to have a stroke, I guess.
Mm.
But yeah, it was too hot for her. She didn't enjoy that. So good and bad memories of 76.
I stayed with my grandparents whilst my Mum and Dad swanned off to the States.
That wasn't the one with the birthday cake, was it?
No.
Oh.
No,
I think you should share the birthday cake fiasco, though, because that was another trip with your grandparents.
That was my third. Well, actually, it was a bar mitzvah present from some friends who got me a seat in the United Executive Suite against Arsenal. I remember it. We drew 0-0. It was a very boring match.
Yeah, but that's not the story with the cake, is it?
No, they got me a cake. Like a 13th birthday cake made by the chefs at Old Trafford.
You wouldn't do that these days, would you?
No. Anyway, we got it back to my grandparents, and my granddad was bringing me home, I think, or my granddad was picking me up from these friends to go back to my grandparents, and this cake was on the back seat, and he had to brake sharply, and the whole cake, Black Forest Gatto, I think it was, just slid off. All over the floor of the car.
Oh, well, so you didn't really enjoy the cake then, did you?
No, Kim wants us to share all disasters. Well, that was a disaster.
Oh, that was one disaster, yeah. No, you see, my best birthday cake, Mum was always in the kitchen. So when it came to birthday cake, she was amazing. And I couldn't have been that old, but I think I was at school. So we're talking 70s. I'm not going to say early or late. And she had something that nobody else in the street had, because she was cutting edge with her kitchenalia, and she'd got a freezer. This freezer was the size of a small room, and she was the only one who'd got a freezer. So she decided when it came time for my birthday cake, she was going to make me a birthday cake out of ice cream. And then, of course, because she had a freezer, she could keep it in the freezer, get it out. And we all had cake made of ice cream. So that wasn't a disaster. That was amazing. But I'm sure there have been plenty of disasters, haven't there? And I'm sure we'll come on to them all,
probably, Kim. Have.
There you go. Kim would have eaten all the cake, not touching the floor.
Talking of birthday cake made of ice cream, I showed you that picture last week, didn't I?
Did you?
Last week it was the MVP summit in Seattle at Microsoft's headquarters. And some of the people that I know went over, and then they went out for this meal. And one of them ordered this, what they call it, Mississippi mud pie cake made out of ice cream.
Oh, wow. Oh, was that the huge picture?
That was the huge picture.
It was the size of a small mountain, this cake. They know how to make portions in the States. I'll say that for them. They do. Over here, you'd get a thimbleful, and they'd tell you that was the extra large size.
Yeah, when I went over there, I found a Chinese, and I ordered whatever I wanted because I was on company expenses, and they ended up giving me a doggy bag. I think it lasted me 3 days.
Yeah, they do know portions, don't they? Yeah. You know what I noticed today? I shouldn't be watching these things, but I do find them very, very funny. The American late night chat shows put the beginning bit. So I'm not interested in who they're talking to about and what they're promoting, but there's like a monologue at the beginning. And they were saying how much petrol was per gallon at the moment. So I think it had reached, was it $3?
I don't know.
It was either $3 or $4. I think it was $3 a gallon. Well, Mike had just come in and said, have you seen the price of petrol? Well, over here, it reached the dizzying heights of £2. Now, before you get excited and think, good grief, we're paying more than you are. No, that's per litre. So I did the AI thing and asked the AI, and I said, if a litre of petrol in the UK is £2, what would a gallon be at that price in the US? And do you know the answer?
No.
No. $7.80. So think yourself lucky. We're just not going anywhere. You see, I told you that this lockdown thing, we'd come into our own. And indeed we have. Who saw the state of Lola yesterday, though? Dirty, dirty dog. Oh, she had far too much fun on her trot, didn't she?
She did.
I put it on Facebook and I put it on Blue Sky. So if you've not seen it, go have a look at Blue Sky. Oh, she did. She had far too much fun. But that's going to be rectified today, isn't it? Because it's the first of the month.
Mm.
And what befalls, what fate befalls the poor girl every first of the month?
She gets her anti-flea treatment.
She does get her anti-flea treatment.
Or her perfume, as we call it.
We call it perfume, but she still grumbles. She doesn't think it's a treat.
She'll get an extra fish stick.
But she does get an extra fish stick. So there you go. Kim says, we complain if gas is over $2 a gallon. You do not want to come over here. We used to buy petrol in gallons, didn't we? But it was a different gallon than your gallon. Our gallon's bigger than your gallon, apparently. But they then decided, was that a European edict?
I think it was.
That all petrol had to be sold in litres. And all it did was give them opportunity to overcharge you because no one could ever work out. Still in my brain, I'm like, well, what's that per gallon? But yeah, astronomical is what it is per gallon. So there you go. Oh, not good. Not good. So what we thought, given it's Apple's birthday, was we'd go all the way back and we'd have a few questions. So Mike and I are going to answer these. And hopefully you guys who are with us live in the chat are going to do the same. So the first question I came up with was, what was the first Apple product that you were aware of? Now, for me, that was an Apple. I think it was an Apple II. From what I've seen of pictures since then, it looked like an Apple II. But it wasn't mine. No, because I had a Commodore Amiga back at this stage. This was a place that I used to work, and I would do this kind of 4 in the morning shift till about 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock. And this computer ran a delivery system for newspapers locally. And I looked in, I thought, oh, computer. Looked at it, I thought, oh, Apple. Yeah, not really aware of the big role that Apple Tech would play in my life a few decades later. I did see it turned on once or twice. It didn't have a mouse, so I'm assuming it was more kind of DOS-based in terms of the look of it. But considering what it did, I swear, if people were trying to design software to do that today, it wouldn't be as good as the software we had back then.
Mm.
Because everything's gone downhill since then, hasn't it?
It has.
Everything's now vibe-coded by a monkey, fed on an odd
a
banana.
A dose of AI.
Every now and then. But that was the first thing I was aware of. And then I went to college, and the college was riddled with them. There was a computer room, and the only computers in it were these Apples. And I did use them, but obviously I had my own at home. And I my job was in Manchester and my university was in London. If you're not up with the geography, that's about 220 miles away. So I was backwards and forwards like a yo-yo. Good job petrol wasn't the price it is today. Back then, you know, I could get to London, but for about, when I filled up to get there and back, it's £5. Which was just as well, because I didn't earn much more than that. And that was where my money went, travelling backwards and forwards. So, yeah, that was my first thing. Now, what about you? What was the first thing you remember?
Well, I was going to say it was the iMac that we bought, but actually thinking about it, when I worked at System House, which was 1989 to 1994, obviously we did training. 99% of the training we did was on Windows. But I always remember that somebody, and we did training for, you know, for corporates, so we didn't really do training for individual people, but somebody, some individual person must have approached the company, found them in the Yellow Pages or something, and said, can you do training, you know, one-to-one basis? And it turned out, and I didn't deliver the training, but it turned out it was for somebody who worked from home and they had a Mac.
And you had no clue.
No, I had no clue. No. And it, you know, it was obviously the old Mac. It was OS 9 probably, because I remember seeing some screenshots when the person was prepping. So yeah, it must have been OS 9. And I don't know what it was training on.
Your memory doesn't go back that far.
No. Could have been Excel. That would have been cool, wouldn't it, if I got the gig, but I didn't.
Well, yeah, because Excel launched on Mac, didn't it?
It did.
Yes. Which we heard about in its 40th. Right, let's have a look here. So, Tracy's first Apple product she was aware of was an iPod original. And we're going to come on to the iPod. And Renee, an Apple Quadra 950. Nope, got no memory of that.
Never
one.
Never heard of that one.
None at all. None at all. But I did mention to you the Bondi Blue iMac, and you said, no, that kind of passed me by. I remember that. This is a shocking admission, but yeah, can I just say in my defence before I start, I was a student. I remember somebody winning a competition on a TV programme, and their prize was this Bondi Blue iMac. I remember looking at it and thinking, that's a weird looking thing. And the TV programme was Home and Away. To admit, I saw an episode of Home and Away. But then I mentioned to you, didn't I, there was an advert, and it was the, I don't know, how are we supposed to refer to that iMac? I think it was an iMac, or maybe it wasn't. It was an all-in-one. It was the one with the articulated arm thing. And the advert was that this computer was in a shop window and somebody walked past and there was a face on it. I'm assuming the face was the finder. And this thing, the person moved and this thing followed them. And then the upshot of the advert was the person who was stood in front of it stuck the tongue out and the computer pushed out the CD drive. You've got no memory of that, have you?
I've got no memory of that.
No, I can't remember much about it, but I remember that advert.
Be on the internet somewhere.
It must be on the internet somewhere, but I do remember that advert. So I think those are the first things that I remember. But back then, I was probably thinking, there's no point even looking at a Mac because nothing works with it. You know,
I remember you saying to me, what do you know about Macs? And I said, there's no software for it.
Yeah, our attitude was there was no software and none of the peripherals would work.
Yeah.
Which when we actually came to it, well, wasn't at all what happened. But our first kit, my first piece of Apple tech, although I actually have something before this, you know, I went in to the local post office to post something. You remember when you used to post your VAT returns?
Yeah.
Yeah, I went into the post office. And when I came out, there was a pen on the floor. So I looked round and there was nobody there. So I took it back in the post office and said, I've just found this on the floor, you know, I'll leave it here. And the woman said, well, if nobody comes for it in a couple of weeks, you know, we'll let you know. And they did. And nobody came for this pen. So I ended up with a pen with Apple on it. It was a Parker pen with Apple, with an Apple logo on it. Oh. So that could have been my first Apple kit. But my proper first Apple kit was the first generation Intel iMac 20-inch. Usually we get the same, don't we, Mike? But that wasn't your first piece of kit, was it?
No, my first piece of kit was the iPod.
You got the same day I did.
Yeah, which Tracy mentioned earlier as well.
Yeah, it was what became known as the classic. But at the time, I think it was
that wheel thing that went round.
Yeah, I've got in my head, I'm thinking it was a 4. I don't know if they had numbers back then.
No idea.
I don't know. But the thing was, I went in to buy this iMac, which I'd pre-ordered, and I didn't even get to unbox, did I? You remember that? Because back then I didn't know unboxing was a thing. And I'd said to them, and can you fit extra RAM? I'd literally rung them up and I said, I'm looking for a Mac. And they said, you know, what kind of Mac are you looking for? I said, I've got no idea. I'm either looking for a laptop or I'm looking for a desktop. I'm not sure. So because I didn't know a thing, I knew nothing about them, but we'd had that money, hadn't we, in the account for about 6 months.
Mm.
We were going to buy an all singing, all dancing Windows box, and we couldn't find one. We couldn't find one because Microsoft had decided, in their ultimate wisdom or gross stupidity, when you're talking about Microsoft, that they were putting Media Center Edition on everything. And I didn't want Media Center Edition on it. But I also didn't really want to have to buy a computer and then nuke it. I wanted to buy a computer and bring it home and use it. So fast forward 4 months, and we were at the Adobe gig, and it was like, I want Lightroom, so I'm going to have to buy a Mac. So I got on to Harwood's and I said, you know, can you just put extra RAM in it? So we get down there. Mayor was barking, wasn't he? He was barking his proverbial.
He's always barking.
He did, bless him. I went in to sort it out. While I'm there, I see some iPods lined up on a shelf. I thought, be a shame not to. You know, you're already spending £1,250. You might as well spend the extra few hundred and get an iPod while you're at it. You'll hardly notice the extra money. So I said, and I'll take an iPod as well. He said, we've only got the black ones in. I thought, I don't want a black one. I want a white one. I said, you're kidding me. You know, you've got no white iPods. No. I thought, darn it. So I left with just my iMac. But then on the way back, we decided to avail ourselves of the services of the local Tesco, didn't we?
Mm.
I was only going in for the toilet. As I went in, I managed to buy myself a Mac magazine as I walked past the magazine rack. And as I got, because if you notice, the toilets are like they say in a Wetherspoons. They were right at the back of the place. So you've literally walked about 3/4 of the way round Tesco's and seen all the produce before you actually get to where you were going. I find this, they were selling CDs at the time, and it said iPods. I thought, don't tell me they actually sell iPods. And they did. So I sidled up to it and I thought, this has got possibilities. So I said, have you got a white one? He said, yeah, of course we've got a white one. What other colour do they come in? I thought, they come in black, apparently. Could have been a U2 model, that one, couldn't it?
True.
They were black and red. Anyway, yes, he did have one. So I bought one. Paid for this magazine, came out of Tesco's with this iPod. Although it was in a fairly big box, you know, by comparison to what they ship with these days, because they barely ship with an iPod or a phone these days. It was reasonably small and it was in the bag with the magazine. So Mike said, right, you ready? So I said, yeah, just got a bit of a confession to make. I bought something. So he could see the magazine. So he said, oh, you bought an Apple magazine? I said, yes. And then from behind the magazine, I pull out the iPod. Well, what were your eyes like? Oh, to say they glazed over. I said, I take it you're going to be going in and you're going to be coming out with one. And that's what happened, isn't it?
That is what happened. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You didn't get the magazine, though?
No.
No, but my mother was delirious, wasn't she?
Yeah, because she got all the points.
She got all the points. Tesco had loyalty points. Well, what was it called?
Loyalty points.
Yeah, but it was Tesco something points.
I don't know.
It had a name. Anyway, when you got a card for these loyalty points, you got an extra card that you would put on a key ring. And you could give that to a family member. And then if they bought anything in Tesco's, well, you can imagine. These things must have been £300-400 each.
Mm.
So she got like £800 worth of loyalty points for Tesco, which was fine until mine broke. Do you remember that?
I do remember it.
When it broke spectacularly. It was screeching, wasn't it? Yeah. It just randomly, I'd only had it about 3 days and I put my stuff on it, you know, and it was playing. It was fantastic. Absolutely loved it. And then it started making a noise. And when I say screeching, I mean like an alarm, like a personal safety alarm. You couldn't bear to hear it. So it started screeching. And my mum said, "What's that noise?" I said, it's my iPod. It's screeching. I could not shut it up. There was no power to it. The screen was off and it would not shut up. So I said, I'll have to put it under some blankets. So I did. And I thought, in the end, the battery's going to go. At which point, so I did the internet searches for what to happen when your iPod screeches. All old wives' tales, because none of them worked. It was still screeching a day and a half later. Well, by this stage, I think the battery might have run down. But the problem with it was, because we'd bought it in Derbyshire, which was, what would you say, 130 miles away?
Something like that.
Bearing in mind you took the scenic route around Stoke-on-Trent, true. Just saying. So I didn't really want to take it back there. So I then had to go to Tesco's here. They were actually reasonable about it, to be honest, considering our local Tesco, despite being huge, didn't sell iPods. So they said, well, what's wrong with it? So I took it out of the bag. I mean, you know, I've got it wrapped in towels at this stage. And I put it down and I said, it won't stop screeching. And that's like trying to lip read because you couldn't hear yourself think. So they pressed a few buttons on it and decided that no, they had no idea what was wrong with it either. But they couldn't swap it for me because they didn't sell them. So I said, well, I'll have to have a refund then, you know, because I want an iPod. By this stage, this was about 4 or 5 days after we bought the iMac. We discovered there was an Apple store in the Trafford Centre. Who knew? There's us traipsing miles to get to Gordon Harwood's. So they gave us the money back. But what they didn't do was take back the points. So Mum was delirious, wasn't she? Mm. I get a new iPod. She keeps the points. Everybody's happy. So I did get my iPod in the end. So that was our first piece of kit. What was the last piece of Apple kit you got?
The last piece of Apple kit? Be this thing down here.
That's not good on an audio podcast,
Mike. No, it's not, is it?
No.
The Mac Studio.
Mine was... oh, hang on, I'm looking at the list of the first ones. I'm thinking it wasn't like the Mac Studio for me, was it? It could well have been the iPhone and the watch.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was a while ago. What I have noticed is when the first Apple kit arrived, everything was Apple. The mouse was Apple mouse. The keyboard was an Apple keyboard. Now, because it's not an iMac, because we've both got a Mac Studio, the monitors aren't Apple. The keyboards aren't Apple. The cables aren't Apple. The mouse isn't Apple. Don't use a trackpad.
Yeah, I think I've got more non-Apple stuff than Apple stuff.
I have. And now, of course, they're not even supplying you with a cable.
Mm.
You don't even have Apple chargers or anything. It's crazy, isn't it? Now, Renee says his first piece of kit was an iPhone 4. No, we did go for an iPhone, but that was 2 years later, was it? Was it more than that? Let me have a think. No, it was 2 years later. So our first phone was the 3G, which was the second revision. That was a good day, wasn't it? O2 went into complete meltdown. Oh, yeah. We said to Mum, we won't be long. That she must have been in and out with Maya, you know.
6 hours later.
Yeah, it was more than that. We were there from the early morning, ready for when they opened. So we were there from about 7 o'clock and we were towards the front of the queue. But as soon as they let people in, and we were at this stage maybe 2-3 from the front, O2 went into total meltdown and they couldn't sell us a phone. But they were saying, you know, that we'll get O2 back online and we will start selling. But we didn't get out of there till about 1:30, 2 o'clock. Do you remember? There was that couple in front of us with a kid in a pram. Mm. They had to take turns and we looked after their place. But I know it was that late because we went and had lunch, didn't we?
We did.
And I was ringing Mum on my old phone and that was also the day. So not only did we have this total fiasco with O2 going into complete meltdown, Apple couldn't sell you anything. They wouldn't let you even leave the queue for a comfort break, right, without somebody looking after your spot. But then when we got the darn phone, obviously you went into some kind of system. Well, you had a temporary number on the iPhone because we were changing provider as well. And that was when I ended up having that big set to with Vodafone. You remember?
I remember.
What I can't wonder about that is now, I've got no recollection of this. Why was I having an argument with Vodafone and you weren't?
I don't know.
It's crazy that, isn't it? You know, Mike was fine, but they were arguing with me. Must have been because it was a woman. They thought they were going to get away with it. Yeah, big mistake. Big mistake, Vodafone. That was an absolute classic. When you rang them to ask for your pack number to move to a different provider, oh, you can't do that. You've got to do it in store. I said, right, okay, can you just give me 1 minute? What they didn't realise was that I was in the Trafford Centre outside the Vodafone store. So I went into the Vodafone store with them live on the phone. And I went up to them and I said, now, you know, Vodafone was empty that day.
Mm.
Yeah, that would be because all they had to offer you was a Nokia N95, if you remember. So there was nobody in the Vodafone store. So I said, right, I need a pack number. I'm moving to O2. Can you give me that? No, you've got to ring for that. I said, right, just a minute. Picks the phone up to my ear that they were still on the call. I said, right, I'm stood in a Vodafone store. They're telling me to talk to you and you're telling me to talk to them. I said, so I'm about to give the Vodafone representative my phone. Can you talk to each other? And can I have a pack number, please? That really, really bamboozled them, didn't it? Needless to say, guess who got a pack number? And that was when we went to lunch. So that was a good day. It was a good day, that. Right. So what else was there? So Renee's saying, the guy at the shop said, from now on, you'll be an Apple fanboy. Watch your credit card. Oh, he was right, wasn't he, Renee? Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear. Right. Let me carry on. I think I'm caught up there. Right. Renee's saying his last purchase was his iPad M5. That wasn't that long ago, was it? Now, what happened to the one before that, Renee? Did you sit on it, throw it down the stairs? Well, you know, there's always some calamity. What happened with that one? So what next then? I had a good topic here. The one that got away. So has there been an Apple product that you've lusted after but never bought? And for me, there was. And I lusted after this product for years. So 2006, I got my first Mac. I can't remember now whether this was 2011 or 2012, but it was a considerable time after I got my first Mac. And what I really wanted was the full Al Gore. As you all know, I lusted after the full Al Gore. Not Al Gore. Don't get mistaken. Al Gore's tech. I wanted the triple monitor setup and a Mac Pro. But the Mac Pro, they didn't update it as often as they updated the other models. So I kept waiting for an up-to-date model. So I'm waiting and by this stage, I've got the money sat there. The next time the Mac Pro was updated, I was having it. I'm thinking it must have been 2012 because I remember Mum asking me. So there was an Apple event, I think it was WWDC, and it was like this time, and I'd waited so long. This time, they're going to update the Mac Pro, and they did. So it's like today, you know, we've got a new Mac Pro, and I thought, yes, you know, it's happening, it's going to happen. I'm stroking my bank that statement there. There was the money. And it was bin 2.0. To say it was like, I mean, oh, hang on, I've got just the thing here. I've got just the thing. That's exactly what it was. Oh, I looked at it and I thought, no, because the whole point to me of the Mac Pro, it was a thing of beauty. I'd been on Apple's one-to-one service. Who remembers that? One-to-one.
I remember one-to-one.
One-to-one, you could get it for 12 months after buying a Mac. And you could go in and they would let you play around and teach you whatever you want to know. And I went religiously every week. I got my money's worth with it, Apple one-to-one. And we used to use a Mac Pro when I went in there. And they let me dismantle the thing and take hard drives out and put hard drives in. Oh, it was a thing of beauty. It really was. It was gorgeous. Now, I'd built PCs for many years by this stage. And the thing was, there were things I didn't mind spending money on, things like, you know, hard drives and stuff that gave you some kind of functionality. But I never really spent that much on monitors or the case, because what difference did it make? So the thing was, when I was putting a PC together, I would have one of the cheapest cases I could get hold of. And when you came to put the components inside it, the metal in it were like razor blades. I would come away and I would be cut to shreds with this thing. The Apple Mac Pro was absolutely gorgeous. It was so well made. And the thing to me was, it was the ability to pull a hard drive out and put a new one in where you could switch between operating systems. Oh, it was just perfect. And of course, bin 2.0, you weren't doing that with bin 2.0. You could barely open the lid. I was distraught. I was like, I'm never going to have a Mac Pro. I did contemplate buying an old one, but who wants to buy an old one when it was that old? It wasn't really just one revision back. It was years old. But I do remember we did the event, didn't we? We did a Mac Bites Live for it. And then we went downstairs and we were putting Maya's suit on to get him out for a walk. And Mum said, well, is there a new Mac Pro? I said, yes. She said, oh, thank the Lord for that. You're getting it now, aren't you? You're not going to wait any longer, are you? And I just looked at her and I said, you haven't seen it, Mum. So on my phone, I got up this picture and she looked at it and she said, that's a bin. I said, I know that and you know that. That is the new Mac Pro. So I never, ever, ever got a Mac Pro. When they finally retired bin 2.0 and we got the new one with the wheels, by that stage, I'd totally gone off the idea anyway. But I didn't really like the look of that one. And I thought, that, I mean, the legs it had was bad enough without paying £700 for wheels. But it's quite scary, isn't it? And now, of course, that one's retired as well. So I can confidently say I will never have a Mac Pro.
Renee always wanted the bin and never had one.
Oh, no, no, I definitely didn't want the bin. No, no, no. Right, let's have a look what's going on here. Renee sat on his M2. How do you do that, Renee? That means it's not in your hand. Mine is either in my hand in a case or on a stand on the desk. I would find it highly unlikely I would sit on it. Right, what else have we got here? Kim is totally out of storage on the studio. 1 terabyte. I get up to 2 terabytes quite frequently just doing screen recordings. It doesn't really work nicely with external drives, the Mac Studio. Let's put it like this. I'm glad I got the 2 terabytes, although you're quite happy with 1, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, you probably don't do as many screen recordings as I do. But Renee always wanted the bin and never had one. I mean, whoa, really?
I've got 700 gig free here.
No, I haven't got that. I've got double the storage you have. I think I've got 100 free at the moment because I had to move some stuff. So I've got to keep an
eye on
it.
I'll lend you some of mine.
That would be good. Do you know, I'd be all right if it would work with the drives I've got. But it eats its way through drives. It really does. And some it just doesn't want to use at all. So I've got some SanDisk drives and it just doesn't want to know, which is most unfortunate. They work fine on the Intel Mac. So I would say nowadays, if you're buying a Mac, you really have to, it's unfortunate. You've got to think about memory because it's soldered on, and hard drive space because they don't want you to change that either. And you cannot guarantee that it will work seamlessly with an external drive. So it's very unfortunate. It's just their way of gouging you more money, isn't it? So for me, the one that got away was the Mac Pro. What about you? Can't think of anything.
I can't think of anything.
No. So everything you've ever wanted, you really had.
Yeah.
I then thought about, well, what about the ones they never made? So I'm reckoning Renee would have gone for a car if they'd have ever brought out the Apple car. Not that they ever said they were making an Apple car, but then it got cancelled. And you're like, oh, so you've cancelled the project you never announced, that one. But apparently so. So I wouldn't have had the car. I'm not impressed with cars at all. Another thing they've never made, but these things they might get round to making. If they'd made a touchscreen laptop, would you have had one?
Probably, because I had the Surface.
Yeah, but you never really settled with it.
True.
Problem I had with the Surface, I was expecting to love it because of OneNote, but then I moved to Obsidian and that the rest was history.
Mm.
But I found the screen too small to use as a computer.
Yeah.
And the interface too small to work with the pencil.
Mm.
No, yeah, theirs was, no, it was a pen.
It was a pen.
Wasn't it? It was a pen. I mean, the pen worked. It worked really well, don't get me wrong. But the interface of Windows, I didn't think, lent itself to the hardware. It was a case, you know, like when they brought out the iPad and it was all, you know, going to be amazing because they said the interface, it couldn't use Mac OS because it had to have a touch interface. They lied, obviously, because now your iMac is slowly morphing into an iPad. But I think in Microsoft's case, the interface needed to be a little bit bigger for you to be able to use that pen to its best. So I'm not sure I would be bothered with a touchscreen laptop. I would probably use it, but I wouldn't buy it because it had a touchscreen. And then, of course, there's the mythical foldable iPhone that's been on the way for, what, 5-6 years?
Don't think I'd have one of those either.
I wouldn't. If it comes out and it's amazing, you'd be like, oh, I want one. But I'm not sitting here thinking, you know, my life would be complete if I had one. I'm really not. Maybe if you, because whatever you do with it, it's going to be much thicker, isn't it?
Yeah, that's
what I'm just thinking. Going to have to fold one way or the other. So it would fold side by side, which would double the thickness and not give you anything in the way of benefit. Or it would fold the other way.
Top to bottom.
Like an old Motorola Razr.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I love my Motorola Razr. I did. It was probably the best phone I had. Other than an iPhone. But I don't feel the compulsion. Let's put it like that. So let me know in there.
No, I agree with you, Kim. Kim says this may sound crazy, but I think better at my desk with iMac versus laptop.
No, I agree with that.
I think
you're in a different place entirely.
Yeah.
It's a little bit like when iPads first came out, I had a Revision 1, a 2, a 3. I didn't have the 4 because the only difference was the charging port. But once I had these three iPads, they were literally bought every revision. So the old one wasn't, you know, put out to pasture at this stage. And what I did was I changed the case on them and it totally changed how I used the device, even though they were both, you know, all three of them were iPads. So one was a consumption device that had a case that you could like flip round and it propped itself up on the desk. Then I had another one that I would read on and that had just a gel back on it. So the front was always open and just changing the case totally changed how I felt about the device and how I interacted with it, how I used it. So I totally agree with you. I get very frustrated at the stupid little idiosyncrasies on iPads and iPhones when I'm like, if I wake up in the morning, I've got my iPhone next to me. I'm going to have a look at my mail and I look at it and I can't from the phone send a mail to Obsidian to like archive it. I can't do that from a phone or an iPad. So that makes me grumpy. I've got to leave it in the inbox and I've got to do that at a desktop. But there's other things, like I was looking at Facebook. I know I should know better. And there was a link and I wanted to open it in Vivaldi. When you copy a link from Facebook, it copies the text before it. So I needed to get rid of that because when I pasted it into Vivaldi, it wasn't a URL. The URL was at the end after this block of text. You ever tried editing in the URL bar of any app on an iPhone? There was no way. So then I had to open Drafts to paste this thing into it, to delete the bit I didn't want, to tap it, to open it in Vivaldi. So I agree with you totally there, Kim. Your mindset is like, right, now I can really get stuff done. Whereas, I mean, if I'm consuming stuff, it's absolutely fine. Having said that, I mean, there's one thing that I said to you that I have to do on an iPad, which is if I want to watch something on demand on ITV, it doesn't work on the desktop. So I have to use an iPad to do it. The problem is, if the program on ITV, which is a free-to-air, ad-supported thing in the UK, I get no sound. Now, I think you had sound on your iPad, didn't you? But no matter what I do with my iPad, I don't get sound with it. Another thing, because I'm sat at my desk so often, I tend to watch stuff on my third monitor rather than an iPad. I will watch BBC content on an iPad because there's no ads. But I noticed now TV has ads, Netflix has ads. Most of the streaming services have ads. Inadvertently, so what I do, my primary browser is Vivaldi, but I have a secondary browser that I use for YouTube, and traditionally it's been Firefox. For years and years it was Firefox. And then all of a sudden Firefox just lost its mind and it just wasn't working properly. So after three updates, I thought, this isn't improving. It would disappear off the screen. It wouldn't open full. It just lost its mind. I thought, I can't be doing with this anymore. I don't have Chrome installed. So I looked at the browsers and I thought, Brave, I'll install Brave. So I installed Brave and I got it set up. So whenever I'm watching a YouTube video, it's in Brave. And I do that so I can carry on working in Vivaldi. One thing I've noticed is, well, I didn't notice straight away, let's put it like that, but I had some content on from Now, which was an American series, I think. Yeah, that's probably the only thing I would watch on there. And I realised as I was watching it, I thought, where are the ads? There's no ads. So the next I see, I got that Netflix account, didn't I, to watch The Thursday Murder Club. I only wanted to watch one thing. So I looked at the price of Netflix and there's different accounts, but the one with no ads is more than double. So I thought, I only want to watch one thing. It's fine. I don't mind. I'm not keen on ads to start with, but it's fine. Right. So I got the cheapest account there was and I put on The Thursday Murder Club, which was about 2.5 hours. And I realised at the end of it, there were no ads. And I thought, oh, maybe it's because I've only just created the account and you get like, you know, week's grace or something before they start bombarding you with ads. No, Brave just is incapable of showing you the ads. So I do see a message now at the beginning of a program on Now TV and it says, please disable your ad blocker. But as far as I'm concerned, I haven't got an ad blocker. I'm just watching it in Brave. Never see an ad. So pro tip, if you want to watch something with no ads, now, before you get excited, doesn't work with YouTube. But there again, you should be watching the ads on YouTube. Just saying, I know you don't like Google. I know you don't like YouTube, but the content's made by individual creators and you like your creators. But all of the TV stations, Brave just doesn't play the ads. I have no idea why. But it doesn't. So we love Brave. Right, I've got a question for you now, Mike. What's the best Apple kit you've ever bought?
The same as the last one. The Mac Studio.
Do you know, I couldn't choose between the Mac Studio, which I still love. think I got the model after Kim and the one before you. I do love it because it's totally quiet. But I think looking back, the first iMac I've got a very soft spot for. But when I say that, I think I mean the 24-inch. That was my favourite, which was actually my second iMac. That was the one I got Black Friday deal 2006. And that was when you got my old one, which you promptly blew up.
Yeah.
Yeah. That got taken in for repair, didn't it? Oh, those were the days when you could take it in on a Monday and have it back by Friday fixed. But they had Squib back then, didn't they? Who knew what he was doing? And they loved me anyway. So I would go in. I think I went in with 1:1 and I took the iMac with me. Well, why have you brought your iMac with you? I said, it's set on fire. I went, what? And that. Do you remember what happened that night?
We were downstairs, weren't we?
We were downstairs. Now, we don't do that often, but we were watching the TV. 24 was on. It would have been about series 5 or 6, wouldn't it? And we always were glued to that. We never did anything else when 24 was on, but watch 24. So we were downstairs in the room underneath my office. And it was coming to the end of 24. And obviously, you can imagine with 24, there were bombs going off right and left and gunfire. And there was this bang. And I said, what was that? And it was literally coming to the end of 24. And I said, I don't think it was on the show. We came upstairs. There was smoke pouring out of the back of this 20-inch iMac. So I said, oh, dear, best unplug it. So we boxed it up and I took it in. I let them think it was mine, didn't I? So I get it onto the Genius Bar. I said, what's wrong with it? I said, can't be specific. I said, but he said, well, we'll turn it on and you know, see what happens. I said, I wouldn't if I were you. Let me finish. So I said, there was a loud bang and then there was smoke pouring out the back and a burning smell. He said, best not plug that in then. I said, no, I wouldn't, not at this stage. So they took it away and then we went back in, didn't we? That was Friday because I always went in on a Friday and we went in on the Monday. Do you remember? Oh, no, did we take it in on a Monday? And I picked it up on the Friday. I think that was it. We went in. Do you remember when we were running Enwick?
Yeah.
Yeah, we went in and we dumped it there. So it'd be the last thing on Monday night and picked it up Friday morning and it was fixed. So they basically had to replace everything in it as it set on fire. I was a bit dubious about using it after that, but you know, it was all right after that, wasn't it? I've managed to set a PC on fire before.
Oh, you have?
Oh, I did. Yeah. I'd forgotten what I was doing with that.
Fiddling with the inside.
Well, I know I was fiddling with the inside, but why was I fiddling with the inside? Was I fiddling because there was a problem? But, you know, the office is full of equipment. Well, it was back then. We actually had a rack in here with, I think it was 8 PCs on it. And that was in addition to our own dedicated PCs. So when this PC needed some triage, I thought I'd best do it, you know, not in the office where I can lay it flat and actually see what's going on rather than struggle across. Well, there was too much equipment in the room. So I said, Mom, shouted downstairs. So she, yeah. I said, can I put this PC on your bed while I fix it? She said, yep, that's fine. So I went in their bedroom and I thought I'd best put a towel down, you know, on the bed. So I put a towel down on the bed and I put this computer on top of it, took the side of it off, plugged it in. And I'm sat there, you know, with a screwdriver in my hand and a torch. And I put my head quite close, not exactly inside it, but quite close to see there were flames on the motherboard. Yeah, luckily I got it off the bed before it set it on fire. Mum said, that was quick. I said, I think I need a new motherboard. Oh, how do you work that out? I said, the old one's just set on fire. That was why, if you remember, I was looking for a PC that you just bought, that you brought home, you turned on, and you started using. Not one that you had to rebuild from scratch. That was why. And I didn't end up with a PC. Obviously, I ended up with a Mac. So if that was the best thing you ever bought from Apple, Mike, what was the worst? He's thinking now. Oh, Tracy's never seen 24. It's no, worth I the box set. That. It's worth the box set. I mean, there were things in it that were comical, really comical looking back. But, you know, I think tongue-in-cheek they were supposed to be. So you have to suspend your disbelief. But it really was a fantastic series. Absolutely fantastic.
The White MacBook.
I thought you might come up with the White MacBook because you really disliked that machine, didn't you?
Yeah.
It was grossly, grossly, grossly underpowered.
It was. And it was plasticky.
I wouldn't have... Well, yes, it was plasticky. You're quite right. I think you went right getting the white one because the black one, they were shiny, weren't they?
Mm.
And the shine wore off. But it was just grossly underpowered. Well, I couldn't choose. So it's easy to pick the best of what Apple have made. But I was spoilt for choice with the worst. I'm going to mention some stuff now and you'll be like, oh yeah. They've made some duds over the years. Right. In no particular order, the iPad 1 case, £25 for monstrosity. Do you remember it?
Mm.
And with it, we also paid £25 for a stand. We bought this sight unseen because it was iPad 1. And the case and the stand were not compatible with each other. Do you remember?
Yeah.
And the stand only worked. You could only have the iPad vertical. It didn't work horizontal. Those two were shocking. But running a very close second to them, if not slightly beating them, was the bumper.
Just going to say the bumper.
It was another £50 we spent. £25.
Yeah, but we got that back.
Well, I know we got it back, but we didn't know that when we bought it. And you killed yours within the week. The bumper for iPhone 4. Oh, good grief. Kim saying, oh dear, Elaine and fires. Didn't I get caught in a fire while I was camping? I did. I spent 2 months in the burns unit. Oh, yeah. That wasn't my fault, though. No. That was a camping stove that exploded. And Dad, of course, it was Dad's idea that we go camping. He really didn't like hotels sharing space with other people. So when I was very young, they actually had a caravan. I used to love caravan holidays, you know, because it wasn't like being... back then, if you were in a hotel, they wouldn't have had a TV in each room. The TV would have been like in a lounge downstairs and you had to take a vote on what you watched. You know, and I might have wanted to watch like the kiddie programmes being really young. And other people wanted to watch. I remember there was a film on For Whom the Bell Tolls. And I spent most of this film hiding behind my mum's back. I was too young for this film, trust me. So I like the idea that when we were in a caravan, we would take a little black and white TV and we could do whatever we wanted. We'd listen to the radio, we could have the TV on, you know. Oh, it was great. But then we moved and there wasn't room for the caravan. So Dad said there was a mate at work who was selling a tent. Well, Mum was thrilled. And I can't exactly say I was either. Sarcasm with Mum. But we decided we'd give it a go, yet never again. Never again. It was a long weekend. I think they'd extended it. It was the Queen's Silver Jubilee, which was 1977. So I was a child. And we'd booked this site. I mean, first off, Dad had no clue getting the tent up. He was clueless. I don't know why he decided a tent was a good idea. He had no idea how to even assemble it. But somehow we got this tent up. And on the inside of it, there was like a zip part that was nylon. Very thin nylon. And that was the bedroom with like a zip on it. And then there was the zip to get in and out of the tent. And that, well, I won't say that's where the trouble started, but it didn't help, put it like that. This stove exploded. I was inside the bedroom part, which was this thin nylon, which melted all over me. My hair, my back, my arms, it melted. Mum was trying to get us out of this tent. And the thing was, did I mention Dad said it was cheap? Yeah, it would be. The zip had no catch on it that you would hold. You had to be very careful opening it. You had to manoeuvre it up bit by bit. Well, the tent was on fire. We haven't got time for niceties. So my mum had to put her hands in the flames to get this tent open or we'd have been burnt to a cinder. So she ended up in one hospital. I ended up in the specialist children's burns unit. And Dad, he had his hands in plastic bags. They were that bad. And he wanted to go outside for a smoke. Who in the right mind? But that was my father.
Mm.
So I didn't see my mum for 2 months. I was not a happy bunny, I can tell you. 2 months in the Burns unit. But I did have the recognition in the Burns unit. I mean, I just wanted to go home. They were mainly children. It was a children's unit, but that would have been under 16, wouldn't it? I was the oldest in there. And there was a lad in there and he came in and he was 10. I was 10, but I think I was a couple of weeks older than him. He had a real bee in his bonnet that he was the oldest one in there. And when the nurses told him he wasn't, I was. Oh, he lost it. Luckily, we were all in isolated rooms. But maybe you can understand that I'm not overly keen on hospitals. 2 months in, not overly keen. That's an understatement. So, yes, fire and me don't really go together. If I never see another one, it'll be too soon. You're quite right. Right, let's have a look what's going on here. We should do a watch party with 24, Kim. That's what we should do. We should have a synchronised watch party. We kept saying that with Kaz, didn't we, in lockdown? Kath and Kaz, who used to listen to Brooklyn's 196, Kaz, huge 24 fan. Loved 24, and the other thing that she watched was Prison Break, which I only saw the odd one of, and I think series one was way better than the rest. Let's put it like that. But yeah, we should definitely do a 24 watch. So Tracy says, the worst product you ever had was iPad 3. 17 days after you bought it, the iPad 4 came out and had a screen fault. Tried to get it changed for a new one, though it wouldn't wash. They gave you another 3. The iPad 4, I thought was shocking on their part, because the iPad 3 came out in March and they brought the iPad 4 out only 6 months later. And the only difference was the charging port. So the 3 had the 30-pin connector, and the other one was the first one to have, it would have been Lightning back then, wouldn't it? But we did feel shortchanged that it was only the latest model for about 5 or 6 months. So I didn't buy the 4. I didn't have the 4 at all. I'm not sure how many iterations went by before I bought the next one. But I was grumpy about that as well, because obviously, you know, you don't want to be keeping old charging cables. Mind you, we did, didn't we? Because when we went away, you know, when we went to Alverston for those weekends,
yeah,
I said to Mike, you know, I'm packing up my cables, and I'd got these like travel things and I'd got all the cables lined up in it. And he said, what are you putting a 30 pin in for? So I said, because there'll be some idiot who arrives at Alverston and says, has anybody got a 30 pin charging cable? And how long did it take?
Not
it was
long.
Nina. She knocked on the door and said, you haven't got a 30 pin charging cable, have you? I said, yep, I have. I've got 3 of them. Here you go. So that was great fun. But yeah, I remember that. It left a nasty taste, that did. Almost as bad as when they released an iPad about 2 weeks into COVID. They did it with like a video announcement. And Johnny and I were both in the market for an iPad. And both of us said, no, it feels icky. And we left it. So they had to wait another 12 months to get any money out of me. And that was the last iPad I bought, 2021.
Mm.
So the iPad that is in daily use on my desk is a 2018 11-inch. What can I say? I'm definitely in the market for an iPad, but they just brought one out. They have, haven't they? And I thought, not much difference. I'll leave it. I'll wait. See how we go. So mine is the bigger one, and that's why it's not the one that's on my desk. It's great for demos and recording screencasts, but it's a little bit big. So if I were buying one iPad, I'm not quite sure what size I'd buy now. I'd probably have to go for the big one for demonstrations, but I'd want the smaller one. So we'll have to see what happens with that. We will. Right, let's have a look what's going on.
Kim wants a 24 watch party.
Yeah, I think that'd be a good idea. Yeah, I think we should. Right. Renee saying went camping every year when you were young and had a great time. Yeah, once was enough, Renee. Never did it again. Mind you, we got away with it because, you know, the tent, not really habitable after it went up in flames. I don't actually know how we got that fire out, you know. Mum got it out. Mind you, she was good at that, wasn't she? There was another incident with a fire. I don't know if I ever mentioned that. That was when I was direly ill, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, I'd got an ear infection. And it took a lot for me to go to the to the doctors. But this ear infection was not getting any better. So I thought, I need antibiotics. There's no doubt about it. So I went to the doctor with it and he wouldn't give me anything for it. Now, I won't say this ear infection was bad, but it was bleeding. It was, I mean, not only was it absolutely horrifically painful, it was bleeding and wouldn't stop. And this was my GP, general practitioner, if you're abroad. That's basically your...
standard doctor.
Oh, they call them something physician, don't they? Like a first line physician.
Don't know.
But that's what we call them anyway. Right? Your first line physician. And wouldn't do anything about it. Well, the receptionist who always wanted to know what was wrong with you. Is that a British thing? That the receptionist always wants you to say in front of a room full of, you know, the waiting room, what's actually wrong with you so they can tell the doctor. There you go. I came out the door, out of the surgery. I was seething. I was absolutely seething. And she said, "Are you all right?" And I just shouted back, "I won't be back," and took the door off its hinges on the way out. Because the thing was, what happens in the UK at that stage is you can't just go to another doctor because you're registered with that doctor as your primary physician. That was it, primary physician, I think they call it.
Primary care physician, Kim's
book. Yes, that's the one. That's the one. You can't just go to another one. You're not registered with them. So that means you've only got one option, which is to go to A&E, which is your emergency department. It's not an emergency. I just need a prescription. I really would feel bad turning up at A&E, taking up a place and being in a queue for 12 hours, you know, just for antibiotics. But it was that bad. Trust me on that. So I comes back. This must have been, I'm trying to remember what year it was. It was definitely before we got Mayor. So it was either 1999 or 2000, this. So to say that the internet was embryonic was an understatement. So I comes back home and Mum said, "Have you got your prescription?" And I said, "He won't give me anything." And she said, did he see it? I said, "Oh, yeah. And all the blood. Yeah." And she said, "He did nothing." I said, "Yeah. You know, as per usual, as I predicted, Mother. You know, this is doctors. Absolutely useless. Only the language was worse than that." So she said, "Well, what are you going to do? You'll have to go to A&E." I said, "Over my dead body, am I going to A&E?" And I marched upstairs. So there's two points to this story. The technical related part of this story was, I thought, hang on a minute. I've got the internet. Let me find a doctor who'll prescribe over the internet. So off I went. Off I went to Uncle Google. And I found a doctor who ran a thing called e-surgery, I think. And he was based on Harley Street in London, which is the road for the best doctors in the country. You had to pay to register. And then you would do a consultation via email. I thought, this is my kind of quack. You know, no hands on. I'm liking this. So I registered with them and I said I'd got an ear infection and it was painful and it was bleeding. And I was severely, severely allergic to penicillin. So don't give me that. Do not offer me acillin. Writes back to me, prescription on the way. Can you give us a fax number for a local chemist and we'll fax it to them? I thought, this is civilised. So I gave them the fax number for the chemist round the corner. And my mum said, I'll go get it. You know, you're not leaving the house in that state. You'll make it worse. She goes round the corner. And you have to, again, I don't know if it's like this in the States. Do let me know. You would have a room full waiting there for their prescriptions to be made up. So they'd all taken their paperwork in from the doctor and they'd all filled the back in and everything. And they'd paid what they needed to pay. Mum flounces in and the woman says, you know, have you got your prescription? And Mum said, they've faxed it through from Harley Street. And the woman said, oh, yes, that's just arrived. Oh, take a seat. To say she was treated well was an understatement. Treated like royalty she was. They'd never had a faxed prescription and certainly not from Harley Street. Everybody else had to wait while they dropped everything and sorted this prescription out. So by this stage, I had started on these antibiotics. So I was starting to feel a little bit better. But it was Saturday and I think I'd only been on them for a day. So I was still, the pain was still bad. And I'd gone to lie down, hadn't I?
Mm.
So Mike's next to me. I'm lying down. When all of a sudden, I'd nodded off at this stage. Saturday afternoon it was. All of a sudden, Mum screams up the stairs, call the fire brigade. And I woke like, what? What? And the place was full of black smoke. So I grabbed the phone. Now, bearing in mind, I'm in my night clothes at this point. That's a good story, this, isn't it? It's a definite Matt Bites, I'm telling you. I'm in my night clothes. I'm on the phone. I ring 999. And I'd worked out by this stage what the problem was. She'd got this, she'd been cooking. And she'd left the cooking oil on the stove and it had caught fire. So we had an oil fire. Now, I don't know if you're aware, but an oil fire, don't throw water on it. It'll go off like Vesuvius. So the kitchen was on fire. The house is full of black smoke. I'm dressed in nothing but my nightdress. And I'm on the phone to the fire brigade. So I tell them that, you know, it's an oil fire. Right, we're on our way. Get out. Well, you know that thing that everybody says to you? What would you take if your house was on fire?
Mm.
Let me tell you, absolutely nothing. Not a credit card, not money, nothing. And now, the only thing I think I would have taken was Mayer. Only he wasn't here then. It was before Mayer. But no, I end up in the garden in nothing but my nighty. Oh, the neighbours must have had a fantastic weekend that weekend. So we're all outside. By this stage, Mum had decided she was going back inside. I have no idea how she knew what to do. But by the time the fire brigade arrived, she'd got the fire out. The trick with an oil fire, apparently, is to soak up a blanket or a towel and then throw that over what's on fire. So she had managed to get this fire out. At this stage, the fire service arrive. So they're running up the back path with their hoses and whatever. They take one look at me. I wasn't too good to start with. You know, there's blood pouring out my ear. I said, oh, this is the, you know, that was there to start with. It's nothing to do with this. But we get taken and put in the fire engine, don't we, on oxygen. They get into the kitchen to have their thunder stolen because she already put the fire out, and they came back to the tender and they were saying, never seen anybody put an oil fire out before. But Mum had managed it. But we ended up, because of that, they had to take us to the hospital. That time we did deserve A&E. We get to A&E. I'd been on oxygen probably for about 20 minutes at this stage. Oh, and I had to ring Dad, didn't I? Mm. Tell him that, you know, don't go back home because the house has been on fire. meet us at A&E. We get to A&E and guess what? They were really concerned about my ear. I said, I'm fine. I've got antibiotics. Oh, we'll have to do a culture on that. Could be something really serious. I thought, right, this is obviously how you get attention in the UK. Set your house on fire and then everything is fine. So, yes. That was another classic, Kim. Oh, telemed. That the E-Med, I think they were called. Were they called E-Med?
I can't remember.
E-surgery, E-Med rings a bell. But yeah, it wasn't trendy. It really was like cutting edge at the time. But the chemist around the corner was just, oh, we've never had a fax before. You know, not a faxed prescription. And not from Harley Street. They couldn't get over where it had come from. It was so funny. Mum came back and she said, oh, I think if I ever need something, I'll be getting it from your doctor. And that way you get treated, you know, you're not waiting at the chemist. They drop everything and deal with you. Because obviously, you know, Prince Charles is going to come in next. Oh, great fun. Great, great fun. Right. Let's have a look what's going on here. What does A&E stand for? Accident and emergency, Renee. Although they are tending now to use American terms, aren't they?
ED.
They might say ED, but I've never heard it called it emergency department over here.
I haven't.
It's usually A&E. And that's to be honest, what it says outside. Right. What else have we got here? Well, we're talking Wi-Fi here.
Wi-Fi in camper vans.
I have heard the Starlink thing. People have switched to Starlink. What gets me with that is it makes total sense if you're mobile. But I don't know why you'd have that in a house because it's slower than you can get and more expensive. But certainly if you're mobile, I know a couple of people who've got like, well, they're not mobile caravans, are they? They go to a caravan site. They're fixed.
Yeah, static caravans.
They're static caravans, but, you know, you would have to take your own TV and stuff. and they've had it put in there, so they've got decent internet when they're away. But other than that, I think speed-wise, I'd probably avoid it. And we don't go anywhere, do we? So that's not something we have to worry about.
No.
Although the number of times my phone ends up on 4G, but it's weird. It'll go to 4G, but it'll then say Wi-Fi calling.
Mm.
So O2 do quite nicely out of us, don't they?
Yeah.
Because I never make a phone call. I've not used, I mean, I've got unlimited minutes anyway, but I've not used any of them. I've not used any minutes since probably the last time I spoke to your mother, that was probably about 18 months ago on her birthday. Oh, my. So that's the fun we've had with Apple. We've only done 20 years, haven't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, we did the last 20 years with Apple. And, you know, you think to yourself, on the one hand, not much has changed. You've still got, you know, a Mac computer on your desk. But you've also got a phone that wasn't available in 2006 and an iPad and a watch. Not that we've gone down the route of the over-ear headphones and all of that. I have got a pair of AirPods somewhere. Don't use them. Much prefer the cheaper ones. But a lot has changed when you think about the services. Because really, Apple now, they're a service business, aren't they? Let's admit it. They're a service business. Their latest wheeze is, you know, when you do a search for an app in the App Store and it comes back with some suggestions.
Mm.
There used to be a flash on it that said it was an ad, that it was a paid placement. And now they've muted the colour, so you notice it's an ad less. I mean, come on. Really? I don't think there should be ads when you're searching. By all means, put ads there where you open it up and there's an ad. Although, you know, not, do you really need to, Apple? No, you don't. So you should leave it alone. But to put them in search results, do you think you're Google or something? But the latest is that Creative, what's it called? Creative something or other. No, Creator, is it Creator Studio?
I think, yeah.
They give us all your money and we'll release Keynote to you.
Yeah, that's
that thing. Yeah. Because I don't get that. I really don't see the logic of that. It's like two different things put together. It is literally like putting together kosher and halal, isn't it?
Mm.
Into one package. Why would you do that? You're either going to be a full-blown creative and want Final Cut and everything, you know, related to it, or you're just going to want the iWork apps. If you want Final Cut and something, then fine. You know, it may work out cheap. Well, it won't work out cheaper for you in the long run, but it will work. It will eke it out. The pain will be less in one hit. But if you want the iWork apps and nothing else, prepare to be gouged. And that's the way they seem to be going. So I can't even at this stage predict what we'd buy next.
No, me neither.
I'd have to say probably either a computer if anything happened to this one, or maybe an iPad because my iPad's so old, but more likely a phone. iPad or a phone, I think, but I don't know. So what do you think your next purchase is going to be from Apple? Let us know in the chat. The Home Starlink's cheaper, €30 a month. I think it's 100 here. I did check it out because we've got a comical thing going on, haven't we, Mike? He's not going to remember what now. You don't remember what, do you?
Well, it depends what it is.
Well, let me fill you in. We moved from B, didn't we?
Yeah.
To Virgin.
The new...
And we stayed with Virgin for a long, long time. But Virgin wouldn't up the upload speed. So we switched to Brisk. Brisk have been amazing, haven't they?
Pretty good, yeah.
At which point you tell me that Brisk have been bought out and they're now, was it UFibre?
UFibre.
So Brisk became UFibre. Okay, it's only a change of name. Don't panic. And then tell them what happened next, Mike.
UFibre were bought out by Virgin.
Guess what? We're back with Virgin. You literally could not make this up, could you?
No.
Now, luckily, when we do a speed test, it's still saying Brisk. And long may that last, as far as I'm concerned. I don't really want to be a Virgin customer. But apparently, we are. So there you go. Right, so what we got here? Kim is saying probably a phone. And Renee, a MacBook Pro M dot dot dot. Didn't we just have a MacBook Pro? No, no, it was the Neo, wasn't it?
Yeah, the Neo.
I'm not. When's that due, Renee? If I went for a laptop, I've always told myself since that MacBook Air fiasco from 2018, the doorstop, if you remember, that I would only buy a Pro laptop. No matter what, only buying a Pro laptop. And then they bring out the Neo. And I think to myself, underpowered, leave it alone. You would only buy a Pro. And then I did a comparison between the price of the Neo and the price of the wheels for the Mac Pro. And I thought, good grief, the laptop's cheaper than the wheels. For real. I mean, Apple, on what planet do they live, mate? That's ridiculous, isn't it? At which point I started thinking, well, you know, instead of getting an iPad, you could get a Neo. But somebody's got to talk me out of it. So I'm charging Mike with that to talk me out of it completely. But it would be a close thing. I'd only need a laptop because I don't go out anymore. I'd only really need a laptop if I'm lounging and trying to do something. But as I said, if I'm lounging and I'm with an iPad, there's a lot I can't do, which I would be able to do with a laptop. So the problem isn't the mentality of lounging, although that does have an impact, Kim's quite right, but it has a practical limitation on the hardware, which a laptop wouldn't. And if I went for a Neo, we could probably buy five or six of them, couldn't we, while I'm buying one Pro? Oh, I'm thinking there might be a Neo in my future. Renee's saying probably the M6, the M1 still functioning fantastically. I thought, I must have got confused, Renee, I thought you'd pensioned that off with Anita and that you'd already had another one. I must be confusing it with your copious iPads. But that's, I definitely thought that. I wonder when they'll be out. I'm wondering, WWDC, what do you think?
Could be.
Where are we now? April. Well, when we've said, oh, there won't be an Apple event because WWDC is on the 8th of June, put it on your calendars. Yes, there's going to be an event. You think to yourself, well, they won't squeeze anything in May. But last year, I think they did. So the way Apple are at the moment, anything could arrive at any point. Are you going to upgrade your headphones, Renee? That's the big question. They didn't upgrade the case, did they? I was hoping for something spectacular from the case. It was so poorly received. But no, they've not bothered with that either. They make some strange decisions, do Apple. So basically, weren't they saying with the headphones that it's just it's acoustically improved and that's it? But they look identical. So I can't really get excited over headphones. Having said that, mine look like they've been eaten by something, don't they? Like a rodent. Yes, the leather's just disintegrated on the earpads and you can't replace it. So I thought, well, it's only a bit at this stage. I'll get a leather repair kit, which I did. Soon as I repaired one hole, another one appeared somewhere else. So I think they're possessed. It is so annoying, though, because they sound absolutely perfect. It's like there's a built-in obsolescence, you know, that you literally can only put them on and off your head 50 times and then that's it. The leather's gone. So I'm going to have to look at an alternative for that. Oh, Renee is saying the headphones are tempting, but you'll get over it. Oh. Oh, and Aunt Anita doesn't want a giveaway. She wants a new one. She's getting wise to you, Renee. Just saying. You could get twins. This is what's needed, you know, isn't it? Apple Kit is so expensive. They could do with doing like a discount for quantity.
Yeah.
Or something like that. And of course, this week, bizarrely, this is completely idiotic. It's happened at the same time. But it happened to you first, didn't it? You opened up BusyCal and it said license renewal time, which it was 18 months with that, isn't it?
Yeah.
So Mike said, have you done yours? I said, no, it hasn't reminded me. But I vaguely remember that I didn't update it for like a week. So I got the last update included. Anyway, I opened BusyCal over the weekend, sorting out for the week, and it said, license renewal time. I thought, you swine. Wasn't it about £40? It was all its money 40, as well.
Yeah, £30, £40.
Anyway, I sorted that out. So I thought, right, done that. So I'm busy working away and I needed to know what file was on an S3 bucket I'd got. So I opened Forklift. License renewal time. I thought, oh, for crying out loud, literally within 2 days of each other. So there's another, what did that one come to? That was comical, wasn't it? You go to the site and you look for the price and you have to buy a completely new license. But it says if you're upgrading, and I thought I'm not upgrading, I'm paying the, we can, you know, we've got you on a subscriptions taxation thing. That's what I'm doing. If you're upgrading, put your key in here and see the price. So I did. And I opened it up in, I had one in an incognito window and one where I was logged in as me. And that's the one, the discount on it in massive air quotes. Notice the air quotes around the discount. So I'm looking at it and it was, you can install this on as many Macs as you like, family license, as many people and as many Macs as you like. I thought, well, that's the one. And it said it was $49.99. So I then put my license in and I pressed the button and it said, you are eligible for an upgrade and your upgrade price is $49.99. I thought, pardon. It turns out the upgrade bonus, your little prize for upgrading, is 100 extra days, which I then had to sit and calculate and work out. So I said to Mike when he came back with Lola, I said, oh, this is the price if you're buying new. So he said, yeah, $49.99. I said, this, I've logged in. He said, that's the same price. I said, I know that and you know that. So although the planets must have aligned with all of these subscriptions running out the same week, because one's for 18 months, one's for 2 years and 100 days and so forth. So it's just unfortunate they all came together this week. So I'm bankrupt already. I've got no money left for hardware. Who can afford hardware? Right. Kim says the over-ear headphones I suggested several years ago still suit you fine. Excellent. Excellent. I'm probably wearing mine out somehow, I would guess. And you just renewed Typinator. That was another one that got me. Because I had 10 licenses for Typinator. Every Mac in the house, and that's not an option anymore. So what I did with Typinator was a quick one of my stress tests to see if I could manage without Typinator by using Raycast. Didn't end well, did it, Mike?
Not totally.
Worked out brilliantly for Mike. Me, less so. I think I've probably got far too many corrections. Yours are actually shortcut snippets, aren't they? I'm relying on like 3,000 corrections in there as well. So I ended up going with the, was that a year? I think it was a year. And you got a year at half price, but they've already quoted you a price for next year for your renewal, which is twice the price it was this year. And they reserve the right to put the price up. And I'm reading all of this and I'm thinking, and I am reserving the right to switch to Raycast if I can persuade Raycast to add the missing features in. Let's just say that. Because it would have the benefit with Raycast. It would automatically synchronize because they've got a pro license anyway. So, yes, I did the Typinator thing as well. So it's not surprising I'm bankrupt, is it? I keep updating 1Password with, you know, just paid this. It's now valid till X date. I'm going to have to put them in Obsidian so I know when they're due and I know when they're coming and it's not so much of a nasty surprise. But I will say, in, you know, from when Apple started, you used to buy software, didn't you? On floppy disks.
Mm.
And it was yours to use until you chose not to. And 50 years on, give us your money. Just give us all your money and we'll contemplate letting you use some software, but it'll be rented. That's where we're at now. I actually said to you, didn't I, a hanker for the old days. Every time I see a new version of something, my first attitude is at the moment, what have you broken? What have you broken this time? And 9 times out of 10, I'm right with that. They have indeed broken something. There is a new version. This might excite him. There's a new version of Drop Zone Out, the black hole powering app. So I download it. I install it. I make sure that version 4, not running, version 5, fine, it's running. It reads everything in. The black hole's working. I am good to go. Apart from the fact that I use a shortcut key to access it, so I have ice hiding the icon. How far wrong can I go? It worked great with version 4. So I used the shortcut key. Nothing happened. I thought, what's going on? Use the shortcut key again. Nothing happened. So I got Activity Monitor out and I'm seeing that it's running. And I get ice open and I'm seeing that it's running in there as well. Cannot get it running. And then randomly, version 4 started running. I thought, just a minute, I didn't run that. So I does a little bit of troubleshooting with it. Couldn't fix it. I thought, oh, for crying out loud, that means a support ticket. So that means when I send a support ticket, I tell them everything, don't I, Mike?
You do.
Oh, I do. Do not come back and say to me, have you turned it off and on again? Because bad words will be said and they'll be forwarded straight to you. So I put together this support ticket and I explained the scenario. And the guy writes back, the developer, and pretty much he thought he'd worked out what it was, which was the shortcut key that I had chosen to use was down as it was reserved as a service. So I deleted that because I'm never going to use that. So I took it away from both of them and tried again. And it works perfectly as long as ICE isn't controlling the icon. But if ICE is hiding the icon, because, hey, I don't need to see it, don't need nor want to see it, it doesn't work. So I tried it all again. Didn't work. So I'd made a video, sent that off. Anyway, didn't hear back for a couple of days. But when I did, the developer had taken the time, can't fault him here, he'd taken the time to build up a system that was using Sequoia, because I'm still on Sequoia, not done the Tahoe thing yet, with my version, which is the latest version of ICE, and he's confirmed it's a fault. I need my thing again, don't I? Where's my thing? What can I say? I should be excited when a new app comes out. I should be thrilled. I remember, I'm that old, I remember being thrilled when software was updated. It's like, oh, what new features have they added? Can't wait to try it. It's going to be amazing. And now it's like, what have you broken? Or what has somebody else broken? Or apps are so interconnected, something has broken somewhere. Just saying. So, yeah. So if you are upgrading with DropZone and you are using ICE and you are on Sequoia, don't. Not yet. Unless you want to run with the icon showing. He said it could take a few weeks to fix. So fingers crossed it does get fixed. But obviously can't live without the black hole. And Renee, I don't know how you're doing without it. I really don't. You and Anita could have the same system that Mike and I have. And I know Kim loves the black hole as well. But at least you've got it installed. You need to configure it. I mean, it's not just the black hole that it powers for me. When I'm sending an email and I've got an image in that email, so I'm sending an image, an email to the lists, it has to be on S3 to work. And that's how I get it uploaded to S3. So there's destinations for my newsletter, for the MacBytes newsletter, for uploading MacBytes shows. I created one for sharing images publicly because what was that app called? The one starts with a Zeit.
Oh,
Zeit. Zeit went crazy. So I created my own Zeit thing. Then I've got my notes in Obsidian. So when I link to an image, it's linked on S3. I've now got one for folders. And obviously I've got the black hole with Mike. Couldn't live without it. Could not live without it. You need to try and configure something, Renee. Something critical that you can rely on. And then you'll be the same as we are. Can't live without it. You didn't upgrade yet, though, did you? Because
no.
I said, you're probably not going to want to do that at the moment. Mm. It's not working. But when it is, there you go. Oh, and today's fun and games was Affinity. Bad words were said, weren't they? Oh! I did a demo, if you remember, in the last live session, and it didn't go well. So I thought, right, let's get this file out, have another look at it. Got me fixed. It doesn't work properly. So there's another hour I'll never get back. Tried and tried and tried with it. Thought, okay, that way isn't going to work, so let's do it the proper way. Did it the proper way. Guess what? That didn't work either. So, not a successful day with Affinity. But they're going crazy on social, aren't they? They're putting all kinds of stuff up on social about that they've been nominated for this award, that award, and the other award. And isn't this artwork amazing? And isn't this great? And I'm like, could you just fix the problems? Could you fix what's broken before you start breaking your arm, patting yourself on the back? That would be grand. But apparently, no is the answer to that. Right. So, Apple at 50. There you go. Not all sweetness and light, is it?
No.
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 No. There are obviously the kit well better than 50 years ago. Company mentality, scope for improvement. And as for services and subscriptions, don't get me going. Don't get me going. I mean, there are things where I've calculated. I think the worst one I ever did was Boinks, wasn't it? I calculated, you know, they're going from a fixed license to a subscription. And the price increase was something like 590-odd percent.
Right.
Yeah. 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 We do have a lot of notes on that. So maybe we can draw them all together and get another show up.
Mm.
Right. We've been requested that the show that we've done tonight be added to the feed because Jonathan couldn't be with us. And Jonathan didn't want to miss it. I've also noticed that Jammy, not with us. And he won't want to miss it either. So, shall we put it out in the feed?
We'll put it out.
If we put it out in the feed, there's something critical we've got to do. I should have done at the beginning of the show, Mike. Which is what?
Hello and welcome to MacBites.
No. More critical than that. I know it's April, but that's not the point. Happy New Year! First show of the new year. Well, actually, I know Marooned was really, but if this is a real show, then this is the first show of 2026. So there you go. Oh, Kim's saying hello to Johnny and Jammy. So when you're listening on demand, Kim was thinking of you. There you go. But I think that's it, isn't it?
It is.
Have I moaned enough about the software and things that break?
Yes.
Yeah. And now we know all about my pyrotechnics as well.
Mm.
Yeah, you know all about those. I don't think there's been any other incident with pyrotechnics, but you know, the scope yet. Oh, actually, I remember thinking, didn't something weird happen the other day? And I thought, good grief, you know, that's not good. And we're not even on holiday. Until next week. So you've been warned, the MacBites crew are on holiday next week. So if you think the Gulf War and stuff, it's not a war, is it? That the what was the word? Excursion, insertion, whatever. Be warned next week. You might want to batten down the hatches. We could, of course, just carry on working, couldn't we, and do the world a favour.
Mm.
We'll think about that seriously. There you go. But for the moment, I'm going to say a goodbye from me.
And goodbye from me.
And we will both see you next time. Stay safe, guys. Well, that was fun, wasn't it? Now, special announcement. We're going live on Sunday night with one of our "'Twas the Night Before the Keynote" specials. WWDC starts on Monday. We start on Sunday. So it'll be 7 p.m. UK time. You will find us at MacBites.fm. Come and join us for a chat on what we'd like to see from Timmy's last WWDC. But that is it for this episode of MacBites. As always, we would love to hear from you. So please send your questions, comments and queries by email to thecrew@macbites.co.uk or use the contact form on the website. We also have our Discord chat room that's open 24/7. Simply go to macbites.co.uk/TMC, the MacBites community, and join the conversation. You can follow MacBites on Blue Sky, where we're MacBites. You can follow me personally on Blue Sky, where I'm Elaine Giles.
You can follow me on Blue Sky. My handle is Thomas Mike.
And I'm MacBite Siri on Blue Sky.
The full links to those socials are in the show notes. But until next time, this has been Elaine and Mike bringing you MacBites.
Goodbye.
Goodbye and see you next time.
I see they're in the studio again.
They can't be.
I can assure you they are.
But they've already done a show this week.
Well, they're in there now doing another.
But they've already got one planned for Sunday.
I know.
For crying out loud, there's no controlling them.
Tell me about it.
They must be on something.
You mean beyond being high on life?
Absolutely. I mean on something of a more dodgy adult nature.
Maybe they are trying to relive the highs of the old shows they mentioned in episode 200.
Which ones?
Well, Remnant Sensitive, Buzzing in the Bedroom, Pleasuring Jeremy Clarkson for a start.
I think you'll find they were three separate shows, rather than the somewhat eye-watering, mind-blowing, juxtaposition you've concatenated there.
Don't bring blowing into it as well.